Jaya Long walked down the hill, beside a utility building with a power pole next to it. She looked around before drawing the keys from her pocket, at which point she opened the front driver's side door, slipped in, and put the key into the ignition. "You should lock your car." I thought for a moment that she was going to shoot through the roof of the rusty sedan. The shriek died in her throat as she turned to find me sitting in the back seat.
"You fucker!"
"Language." She collapsed against the door, pulling her hair from her face.
"Fuck you!"
"Do you know the entire state, county, and res are on the lookout for you right now?" She swallowed, attempting to get her heart rate back to normal.
"I'm allowed at least some privacy."
"Not when people are making death threats to you."
"Do I look worried?"
"You did a moment ago. I thought you were going to stick to the headliner."
"You scared me. Congratulations. Now get out of my car."
I leaned forward, resting my forearms on the seat. "Do you have any idea what you're putting the people who care about you through right now?" She said nothing. "Okay, you don't want to talk about that." I flipped the small notebook onto the seat beside her. "You want to talk about this?" She glanced at it, but made no move to pick it up.
"What's that?"
"Your sister's diary."
"Jeannie?"
"Yep." She stared at it.
"I don't know anything about that."
"Aren't you curious?"
"No."
"I was." She turned in the seat, picked it up, and looked at me.
"Where did you find this?"
"In your room at your grandparents' place."
"And you took it?"
"I asked your grandfather, Leonard, if it'd be okay."
"Did he look at it?"
"After I explained, he said he'd rather not." She turned the moleskin notebook over, examining it.
"If this is what I think it is, then I don't want anything to do with it."
"I can understand that, but in an official capacity concerning a missing person case, I need to ask you some specific questions about the information it contains."
"No."
"I can just hand it over to the FBI or your aunt."
"Especially no."
"Then talk to me." She looked at the small notepad.
"This has nothing to do with me."
"Nothing?" Running her fingers over the black moleskin, she stared at the notebook. "Did you know what was going on?"
"Of course I did."
"And you didn't think to come forward with this information when Jeannie disappeared?" Her eyes grew fierce, and even in the dim light of the beaten sedan, I could feel the heat of them.
"Have you ever made a promise? A real promise, one that you couldn't break, ever? One that you made to someone you loved more than anything? A promise you made to carry to your grave long past theirs?"
I slumped back in the seat and felt more than a few springs collapse. "A few?"
"Then you should understand."
She began to cry, and I handed her the only thing I had, the handkerchief, stiff with her own blood. "Jeannie One Moon was having an affair?" I'd waited until the right moment to give him the information, just before he was getting ready to make the $5 shot. "With Digger Wainwright?" "It's all in the notebook." He turned to look at me and started to say something, but didn't, his concentration completely blown. "I've rarely seen you at a loss for words." "I am currently at an utter loss." "You going to shoot that ball?" "After all, I was in it for a half sawbuck." "He shot, missing the rim, actually missing the rim and the backboard in its entirety." Walking off the court, he pulled his wallet from his jeans as I waved him off. "Put it on account." He sat on the bleachers beside me. "Digger Rainwright." "I know," I turned to him, "and there's more." "Why should there not be?" "He paid for an abortion at a clinic in Billings." "You checked this out?"
"I did."
"Now what?"
"I was hoping you would have some ideas."
He shook his head. "Who, pray tell, have you informed about this?" I said nothing, and he shook his head some more. "An exclusive group, then?"
"For now."
"Are you going to tell Lolo Long?"
"That was the one person I was trying to think how I could not tell."
"It is your investigation."
"We're on a slippery slope here."
"Agreed." I stood and walked out onto the court to retrieve the wayward basketball that looked lonely out there. So what do I do with this privileged information? Tell the tribal police chief so she can go out there with garbage bags, packing tape, and a shovel? That would be the most likely result, her or his wife. There's an idea. There will be numerous individuals who will want to dig a grave for Digger. His head rose as I picked up the basketball and walked back toward him, spinning it in my hands. Confront him? Seems like the logical scenario. Let him have his say before the information becomes public record. He doesn't seem to enjoy our company. I do not care. Somehow I knew that was going to be your response. I studied the ball. We could kidnap him. Yes. I was kidding. His eyes met mine. I am not.